praise the Lord. Why don't we stand right now and read a couple of scriptures, and then we're just going to let the Lord speak to us tonight. I had intended to start a new series of lessons, and in fact, I was working on that, finishing that up today. But along midday or so, just felt like we might need to change something, might need to shift something. And we'll see what the Lord wants to do tonight. But we want to follow the leading of His Spirit, and we are going to spend some time in prayer before we're done here tonight. And prayer for our nation, prayer for our leaders, prayer for our fellow countrymen, prayer for our church, prayer for this area. We need the Lord. America needs Jesus. Our leaders need God. There's a lot of hurting people from all spectrums of life right now. They need the Lord. And we need God, because we don't want to get distracted by the things of life, the things that the enemy would use to sow seeds of discord and division and confusion. We don't want to get distracted by that. We want to stay focused on what God has called us to do. And so we need the Lord's help tonight. And I believe that we are about to enter into the greatest hour of the church. I strongly believe that. I feel that for our church. I feel that for the Apostolic Church worldwide. We are about to enter into the strongest, greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost that the world has ever seen. If we realize it, if we sense that, if we read that in the Word of God and can tell from the signs and things going on in our world, then I guarantee you the enemy knows it as well. And he is not happy about that, and he is not looking forward to that, and he is not wanting to do anything to help that. And so he is doing everything he can to distract us, everything he can to divide us, everything he can to destroy what God would want to do. But I believe that there is a church that is going to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And we're going to understand some things in the Spirit and be wise in the Spirit so that we can stay laser focused on what God has called us to do, whether it's through a pandemic or through a contentious election or through whatever else 2021 may hold. We've got to stay laser focused on what God has called us to do. Amen. I want to turn to 1 John chapter 4. In verse 1, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Amen. Praise the Lord. John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you." Did you get that? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Turn to somebody and just tell them that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can we just thank God for that promise right now? In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We worship you, Lord, for the promise that's in your word. We give you glory and honor and praise. Lord, you are awesome. And we're thankful for the infilling of your Spirit. We're thankful for the unction of the Holy Ghost. We're thankful for the leading of the Spirit, God, that we don't have to walk in the flesh, but we can walk in the Holy Ghost. And we can walk in truth. We can walk in the light, Lord. We give you praise for it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I remember as a younger person, I'm still young, but as an even younger person, some of these past elections, that presidential elections that would come for 4 years, and then there'd be another one, and then there'd be another one, and And I don't know, it was about maybe 12 years ago, it seemed like one election was over, and it was like almost within a few months, they were campaigning for the next election. And it seemed like even more so 8 years ago. And 4 years ago, definitely even more so. It's like we're in a constant election season and battle and contention and all of this struggle and strife in our nation. Then you have media on all sides that are participating. Then you've got Facebook and Twitter and now Parler and all of these different voices. So many voices. So many voices. And it just seems like we have been in a constant state of hyper-awareness, I think is a good way to say it, of hyper-awareness of the political situation and all of this mess. And sometimes you just have to unplug a little bit. Sometimes if we just consume all of that all day long, you start to feel the anxiety start rising up in you, because there's some things you just we can't do anything about. Now, we can pray about it, and we're going to do that tonight, but there's some things I just can't fix myself. There's some things I don't know the answer to. There's some things I don't have control over, and sometimes we just have to realize, you know what, I'm going to unplug just a little bit, because it does me no good to worry about every single speech that happens, and it does me no good to worry about what somebody said on Twitter and what somebody responded. It does me no good to worry about what this congresswoman or congressman said that they're going to do, or you know, I can't do anything about that. I can pray, and I'm going to give it to the Lord, but I've just had to step back a little bit and unplug. Now, I believe that we should be aware. I believe that we should vote. I do believe that we should vote. I believe we need to use that right and exercise that right to vote, but I believe that there's got to be a separation between the church and the world that says, you know what, I can't get so involved in that because it keeps my eyes off of him. It gets my eyes off the task that I'm about. And so I've got to unplug just a little bit, and I've got to step back just a little bit. And so you've seen this current situation unfolding around our nation and in Washington, D.C. today. And I hesitate to comment too much on it because, to be honest with you, I don't know all the details. I don't know that anybody knows all the details just yet. And I had a busy day today, but I did catch a few things. And I don't know all that's going to come out. I feel like we're just starting maybe to understand some things that happened, who was behind and all that. But I don't know. I don't know exactly. It'll come out more. But I will say this. We condemn violence. We condemn violence. I don't care what you believe or what side you are on. We condemn violence. That is not part of who we are, and that is not what we condone. That is not what we push. And I don't care who you are, rioting and looting and protesting. Protesting peaceful protest is fine. That's part of the fabric of the society that was founded by our founding fathers. But rioting and protests that end up into a mob, that is not something that we condone. And like I said, you know, this situation is unfolding. I don't know where it's going to lead. We don't know. There's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions about who's behind what and who's doing what and what's going to be the response. And I don't even know. I don't know if Congress is maybe going to go back into session tonight. I'm not sure exactly what happens. And we are at an unprecedented place in our nation. This is a time that we have never faced before. This is something that we're not exactly sure how all of this works out. And you want to talk about a divided nation? We have a divided nation right now, because just as strongly as you believe about your side, there's somebody else that feels just as strongly on the other side. And I'm not here to tell you which side is right. I'm here to tell us the Lord's side is what's right. And we've got to remember that, and we've got to look to him during this time. But I just felt these scriptures here come to mind, because I feel like sometimes we've got to realize there's more than just what meets the eye. There's more than just what we see on the news. There's more than just what we read about on our favorite news website. There's something else behind that. There's something pushing this. There's something that's working behind the scenes. And John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." And sometimes you can't just take things on face value. You can't just, you know, I wish we could trust what people say and just believe that, well, that's the truth, but that's not the way things are. And sometimes we have to just say, okay, Lord, help me to be sensitive in the spirit, to try the spirit and what's behind this and what's the motivation and what is this, how is this trying to affect me? John said, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are false prophets out there. There are people that their sole purpose is to sow discord and division and confusion and pain and hurt and brokenness. And they are literally, I believe, people in our nation that would love to see it come down. And the reason why is because they are led of the devil. I just believe that's the force that's behind many people that would just love to see our nation torn apart at the seams. But we've got to realize that there is a spiritual battle going on. John said, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist." We are seeing the spirit of Antichrist in our world. We are seeing it in our government. We are seeing it in the media. We are seeing it in Hollywood. Everywhere we look, there is the spirit of Antichrist. What does that mean? It's Antichrist. It's anti the Word of God. It's anti-righteousness. It's anti-holiness. It's anti the goodness and the grace and the love and the mercy of God. It's anti that. It's against it. And so we are seeing that. And Paul said, you know that you've heard that it's going to come. And even now already is it in the world. We've heard this. We've heard preaching on this. There's been movies made about this. There's been a lot of prophecy films and prophecy teaching about this. And now we're seeing it come to pass. And we're kind of like, oh, goodness, what is happening in our world? We've been told about it, but now we are seeing it come to pass before our very eyes. The spirit of Antichrist is even now already in the world. It is working. It is moving. There is a movement of Antichrist. What do we do? Do we wring our hands and do we go find a bunker somewhere and just hide out from the world? Well, I don't have a bunker. If you've got one, let me know and I'm coming over to your house. But I do know a place that I thought about making a bunker out of, but I'm not going to tell you where that is because then you'll be trying to come over with me. You know, I don't have a cave on my property. I don't have a place like that. And I don't have the resources. So we're going to have to keep learning how to live in this world. So what do? We don't give up. We don't become so fearful that we can't cope and that we can't operate and that we can't handle the things and the pressures of this world. No, we got to realize that this is beyond our pay grade. This is beyond what we can handle in our own flesh and in our own strength. But let me give you a little hope from the Word of God tonight. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. I don't have all the answers. I don't know exactly why all everything is going to come about. And I don't know how to fix everything. But I know this. There is a spirit of Antichrist that is moving in our world that would seek to destroy the things of God. But there is going to be a victory in the end. And we've just got to hang on and we've got to trust the Lord. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Could I tell you, this is the time that never, if you've never been full of the Holy Ghost before, you need to be full of the Holy Ghost today, because you need that power working in you to keep you and to help you and to protect you and give you wisdom and give you help so that we can overcome the world. Hallelujah. Yes, darkness is advancing. Yes, evil is advancing. Yes, we're seeing destruction and turmoil and all of this chaos all around us. But in the midst of that, it's an opportunity for the church to shine. It's an opportunity for you to be a witness of the glory and the power and the anointing of God. It's an opportunity for that Holy Ghost that's inside of you, for you to go into prayer in regular times of prayer, and all of a sudden it's just like filling the fuel right back up. And then you go back out into the world and people look at you and they can see the glory of God. They can feel the presence of the Lord. Come on, this is the time for the church to shine, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'll never forget, it was in March, could have been in February, sometime in February or March, and I usually don't take a Sunday afternoon nap. Anybody remember Sunday afternoon naps? Oh, those were the best. Those were the best. You know, you had Sunday morning church and then Sunday night church, but you go home just to catch a little bit of nap, and oh, that was such deep sleep. Well, it's been a long time. I hadn't taken a lot of naps on Sunday. I needed to start that back up maybe, but there was a Sunday in February, March that took a little nap, and everything was good. Lay down for a few minutes, got back up, and when I woke up, it was almost like there was something in the room. And it was so heavy in the air. It was almost like you could feel the presence of something. And I had this overwhelming feeling of dread and hopelessness and fear. And it was so strong, I thought, I just want to die. You know, this is too heavy. This is too much. And we just had a great service, and I just had a great Sunday afternoon nap, and there was no reason to be depressed. There was no reason to be fearful. Everything was good, you know. But there was this overwhelming just sense of everything's hopeless. There's nothing good. There's nothing to live for. There's just, this is depressing. This is horrible. It wasn't but just maybe a week or two or three later that we had to shut down our services and went into a time of distancing and all of this that has just shaken our world up. And I don't know exactly what spirit it was, but that was a spiritual thing. That was a spiritual thing, because this is a spiritual battle. And the enemy wants you to be so overcome with fear. The enemy wants us to become so overwhelmed and depressed and hopeless. You know what you're feeling when you feel that hopelessness come to you? Because as Christians, we are not hopeless. We are far from hopeless. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're experiencing. I don't care how bad the battle is. Let me tell you, as Christians, we always have hope. We always have hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. He's always working things for our good. He's always making a way. And so we have hope. But when you feel that hopelessness, when you feel that depression, that is not of God. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given us power and love and of a sound mind. So you are not feeling the presence of God, but you are feeling that is what the enemy feels. Because no matter what he tries, no matter his tactics, no matter his schemes, he is a defeated foe. And so when you feel that hopelessness, you are catching a little glimpse of what the enemy feels all the time. Because it doesn't matter how hard he works, the word of God is settled. He is going to be bound. Amen. We are going to be victorious. We are going to live with God in eternity forever and ever and serve and reign with him. Praise the Lord. But we've got to see the spiritual perspective of things. And I really do wish that some of our leaders and our political leaders were more aware of spiritual things. Now, I'll just be honest with you, I think some of them really are, but not our side of spiritual things. I really believe that in the highest places of government, there are those politicians who they are tapped in to the darkness. They are tapped into evil. They are tapped into witchcraft. I believe it. I don't have a question about that. There's evidence of that. We see that. But I wish that there was more that understood Bible truth and more that understood that we have hope and that there's power in prayer. There's power in the blood of Jesus, and there's power in holiness and separation from the world. There's two major spirits, and we've talked about this back closer to the election, two major spirits that we are seeing work right now. Spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist and his reign will be about globalization, a one world government. And it's anti-God. It's anti-church. It's anti-holiness. And we are seeing that even through some of these COVID restrictions. We are seeing how the church is being persecuted perhaps more than ever in the United States of America, but it's probably just the start. So America is seeing this pressure, this spirit of Antichrist. That's the attack, even the unrest in the streets, the violence and all of that, the lawlessness, that's part of that. But we can be encouraged because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then the spirit of Jezebel. The spirit of Jezebel despises authority, despises the people of God, despises those who are in spiritual authority and does its best to destroy them. It's lawlessness. We're watching those two spirits working, moving against the people of God, the church of God, the men and women of God. These are spiritual battles that are raging right now. What are we to do? What are we to do? You know, sometimes my flesh is like, well, you know what? I'm going to go get me a, well, I'm going to go join a protest. I'm going to let my voice be heard because I'm not happy about some stuff. And probably a lot of you would agree, no matter what side of the spectrum you're on, we're not happy about some things. We're not happy about the way some things are going on. Matthew chapter 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, against the Lord, how they might destroy him. Yeah, they want to destroy Jesus. They were after him personally. We probably don't have anybody that's really out to destroy us in the government personally just yet. Now, that may come. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." In the verse 9, "He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets." Isn't that something? He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He's not being treated fairly. He's not being done right. But what does the Lord do? You don't see him striving and crying and lifting his voice in the streets. You just go to any news website, just about any Twitter post right now, and what do you see? You see a lot of striving, a lot of crying, and a lot of voices in the streets. Now, I'm not saying that we don't ever need to be a part of peaceful protesting, you know, that is part of America. But I'm just saying the Lord faced some things so much further, so much beyond anything that we'll probably ever face. But he did not strive, he did not cry, neither did any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. The attack of the enemy is meant to divide the church. Yes, it's meant to divide our nation, but I've seen it already today. In just the little time that I was on Facebook, in just the little time I was on Twitter, I see some of my church friends posting this, and I see some other of my church friend posting that, and I see them going back and forth, and I see strife, and I see discord. And I have to be honest with you, I unfollowed a couple people that I've been longtime friends with because I thought, you know what, I don't need that. And I had to catch myself because I was about to post back. But the attack of the enemy is meant to divide not only America, but to divide the church. And we've got to stay focused. We've got to have a laser focus on what we are called to do. And so God help us. God help us. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. In the New King James Version, we see that word iniquity translated as something else. It says, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, I don't know all the details of everything that happened today. I do know I looked at some of those pictures, and I'm thinking some of this was organized, and some of these were groups that, you could just see the hate, and you could see the way some of them were dressed and all that. I guess I am profiling, whatever. Sometimes just common sense tells you, I'm trying a spirit here, and something's not adding up, okay? But lawlessness will abound. And the Lord warns us, that because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But verse 13 says that he that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. Don't get going down all these rabbit trails. Don't get all involved in this and get your eyes off of Jesus. Amen. We've got to endure. We've got to keep the focus. We've got to keep what God has called us to do, to be first and foremost. And then verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. There is something else that must happen. The gospel's got to be preached. It's got to be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Amen. That's why we support missionaries. That's why we're involved with missions, because we're preaching the gospel all around the world. We may not be able to go there physically, but we send our funds. We send our prayers. Amen. And beyond that, there is a world right here. There is a world of people right here that have never heard the gospel. They have never heard this life-saving message. They have never heard the truth of Jesus Christ. They have never heard the hope that we can find in him. Amen. There's people on your street that they need to hear this gospel. There's people on the other side of town that they've never heard this before. Come on, we have a job to do. We have a mission. Come on, we have a calling. We have a purpose of God. We can't get distracted. We can't let ourselves be deceived. We can't let our love grow cold, but we've got to stay focused on the task at hand, reaching our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel to all the kingdoms and all nations, including Southwest Missouri. Amen. As part of the mission in motion, one of the goals that we outlined is that we want to see a church, an apostolic church, established within easy driving distance of every single person in Southwest Missouri. Whether that's our church or other campuses or Daughter Works, or whether that's other churches that we help support and help see get established, or however that happens, that's a goal. This is our area. This is our mission field. This is our calling, Southwest Missouri. Amen. And it's a wonderful area, but there's a lot of people that need Jesus. And so we've got to keep that focus. We've got to keep that before us. Would you stand with me tonight? I wonder if they would dim the main lights, and We're gonna have a little time of prayer. I don't know how all this is going to turn out. I'm telling you, between now and Sunday, who knows? Who knows what all could happen? I don't know. I don't know how all this is going to play out, and I don't know what different politicians are going to do, and I don't know all of that. But I know one who does know. And I know this, whatever happens, he's going to use it for his plan. Now, you and I have a plan of how we'd like to see things happen. It may not be the same plan, but God has a plan. And so we're going to pray the will of God be done. Amen. Would you pray the will of God for our nation? Would you pray the will of God for our area here? Would you pray the will of God for our church? Come on, sometimes you may not know what to pray. This is a valuable lesson for us to learn. You may not know what the answer is, and you don't know what to ask God for, but you can pray, God, I pray the will of God. I pray the will of God be done in our nation. I pray the will of God be done in our capital. I pray that our leaders would do the will of God. I pray the will of God be done in our city and in Southwest Missouri. I pray the will of God in my family. I pray the will of God in this church, Lord. You know what your will is. Let your will be done, God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. I wonder if we could just call, just however you feel like praying. If you want to kneel, if you want to stand, if you want to walk, if you want to come to the altar, whatever you want to do right now. But I wonder if there would be a sound of prayer calling upon God that his will would be done. Come on, can we humble ourselves and pray for a few moments here tonight? Can we turn from our wicked ways? Can we repent? Amen. Can we seek the presence and the face of the Lord right now? Lord, I pray that you would hear our prayer, God. We seek you here tonight.